This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored. Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
Age of Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Steve. I just want to let you know that for all the latest on our podcast, hit us up at EILF Movies. That's Everything I Learned from Movies on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We're also on Patreon if you want to check that out. But our homepage is with the Age of Radio Network at ageofradio.org/Everything I Learned from Movies. And if you're looking for some amazing art, check out my wife's Etsy page at untidyvenus.etsy.com. All kinds of great stuff there. Also, follow us at PodCartFest, that's PodCartFest, for our periodic art and podcasting festival that we're going to be hosting. It's actually pretty cool. Check it out. So yeah, on that note, let's get to the show.
Everything I learned from movies helps to make life a little bit groovy. With a one-liner plot holes, a gratuitous movement. It's time to get busy with your friend Steven Izzy.
Krug, savage armed Krug. They killed off our entire scouting party.
Sacrilege. I believe it was Galleon. He has fallen into madness. Your king needs you.
In my world, the king's arm is expected to protect the kingdom, not just the castle.
The king has been poisoned.
Galleon is raising armies. Vast armies.
Those who you fight, we will help you fight them.
A small force might slip through them and solve the problem at its source.
King called upon you to face death. Tonight we dress our wounds, bury our dead. Tomorrow we gouge evil from its shell.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
And this is Everything I Learned from Movies. And tonight! We are continuing Jason Mytham. As we discuss 2007's In the Name of the King, : A Dungeon Siege Tale.
Ooh, the King's :
Yeah! babe.
Steve.
Before we get into this... our first Uwe Boll movie, friend of the podcast.
Dr. Uwe Boll. We've not done any Dr. Uwe Boll movies?
We have not.
What?
We've only interviewed him twice. Well, we'll find out why maybe here in a bit. But before we get started, I don't know about you.
Are you sober?
I'm a little sober.
Let's fix that.
What do I do first? All right. First up, we have from Deschutes Brewing... The Little Squeezy Juicy Pale.
The Squeezy Juicy.
Yeah.
It's just a wee little Squeezy Juicy.
Crafted to remove gluten. This beer was fermented from grains containing gluten and crafted to remove gluten. The gluten content of this beer cannot be verified, and this product may contain gluten. Okay.
So if you're gluten sensitive, you're probably all right. But if you are, like, truly, like... celiacs or something, don't trust it.
Oh, okay. All right, here's the description. Refreshingly juicy, effortlessly drinkable, freshly squeezed, no fruit was harmed in the making of this beer. Okay. 5% alcohol by volume, 40 IBUs.
Woo!
Mutt up.
Oh, he they stop.
Nice. And Le Pool.
Ooh, we have a beautiful dark straw-colored beer. Has a off-white foamy head. Lots of medium-sized bubbles dissipating quickly.
Medium-sized bubbles dissipating quickly.
Oh, that smells super juicy.
Yeah.
Like orange juice. Mmm. Yeah, like sweet citrus.
Yeah. A little bit of bitterness in there, but yeah, just kind of like the citrus pith kind of bitterness, and yeah, just nice and juicy.
I enjoy the citrus notes from the hops.
Yeah, nice and light too. Like, it's not overly, like, sometimes the juicy stuff, it's like so much it's making you completely salivate. This is like having a beer and, you know, makes your mouth water a little bit.
This is a really good, the juicy IPAs are great if you, like, want to get into IPAs, but other types of IPAs are just, like, too intense.
Yeah.
This is a good way to sort of, like, train your palate for that intense hop flavor.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of intense hop flavor, babe.
Oh, yeah.
In the Name of the King, a dungeon siege tale.
Spoiler alert. Guys, I love this movie. I love this movie.
Get it all out nice and early. Babe, was this your first time seeing this movie?
Oh, God, no.
No. I think we had watched it together. I watched it back when it first came out. Like,
yeah, I'd seen like parts of it, and then, yeah, I watched it fully with you.
We haven't seen the sequels, though.
We have not.
The spoilers, they're sequels. One of them, I think the second one is Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, shit.
As, I guess, the king. And the third
as the farmer?
Yeah, well, spoilers. No.
Damn, you become king. You go from Jason Statham to Dolph Lundgren. Goddamn. Right?
Well, and then the third one, you turn into Dominic Purcell. So, you know, it's kind of like a Scorpion King kind of. like, oh my God. You go from The Rock to, fuck, I don't remember who it was in the second one. So, like Vincent Perez or something. Maybe that's the Crow I'm thinking of. But yeah, it's like that.
It's like The Crow.
Yeah, it's like The Crow. You start off as Brandon Lee, then you're Vincent Perez, who's like a director, and then you're Eddie Furlong. I don't know. Guys,
that's rough.
Possibly coming soon, if I can ever convince myself to do it.
Crow Month?
Crow Milkyway? No. But yes, as we mentioned, In the Name of the King, from director Uwe Boll.
Who's he, Steve?
Oh, well, you might know him from a couple interviews on our podcast. He also directed movies such as House of the Dead, Alone in the Dark, Blood Rain, This, Postal, Blood Rain Deliverance, Far Cry, Rampage, Attackendorfer, Max Schmeling, Auschwitz, Blood Rain the Third Reich, Blubberella, In the Name of the King, Two Worlds, I think that's the second one, Assault on Wall Street, Capital Punishment, and Rampage, President Down. But he has since retired a couple years ago, and I wonder if he still has the place there in Vancouver, the Bound House or whatever.
Oh, I know at least the bar closed last time we talked to him.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was slowing down. Well, but yeah, check out our past interviews. Really nice guy. Given his reputation through Hollywood and calling on critics and stuff like that.
Right.
But, you know, whatever.
Yeah. No,
at least he didn't slap Chris Rock, am I right?
Right.
That would be insane.
Totally nutso. But I think, like, part of it is he is a character.
Yeah,
Uwe Boll is a character, and he knows he's a character, and he plays it up. And so I think he's got both an earned and sort of an unearned reputation. Like, people think that's how he lives his life, because that's his public persona.
Yeah.
But we discovered from doing the interviews that there's layers to that onion.
There's another side, yeah.
Yeah, like rescuing all the dogs in Serbia after you accidentally burned down the town.
Man, we have to talk about the Blood Rain trilogy tonight. But this movie was also, the screenplay was written by Doug Taylor.
Who's he, Steve?
Well, he did a bunch of TV, and then this, and then, okay, a movie I'm surprised we haven't done on this podcast yet. Babe, do you know the movie Splice?
No.
It came out about 10 years ago, Adrian Brody, you know the movie Species, right? It's basically like that, like, Adrian Brody, like... I seem to remember it's like mixing human DNA and some other DNA, possibly animal, and it makes this hybrid creature Then Adrian Brody, spoiler alert, ends up fucking it, Shape of Water style. But instead of being nominated and winning Best Picture, it's just a tale of messing around with DNA. I don't know. Maybe coming soon. Obviously, honestly, I haven't even seen that movie. but he wrote that.
Okay.
And then Christmas Horror Story, which we've also seen.
All right.
And most recently, Blood Honey. Not Blood Money. Blood Honey. Which I assume is about that black market honey. honey trade. I don't know.
Right?
Leo DiCaprio and a bunch of bees.
Not the bees!
And also story by Jason Rappaport and Dan Strongkack. Who are they? They only helped on this, so... yeah, who knows. Oh, but this cast, babe. Jason Statham as Farmer. Lily Sobieski as Mariella. You may know her from Wicker Man. John Rhys Davies, Ron Perlman, Claire Forlana, Christina Loken, Matthew Lillard, Ray Liotta, and Burt fucking Reynolds.
Burt motherfucking Reynolds. This movie has a cast.
Oh, wait till we get to fun facts about what almost was.
By the way, you and us, when we were watching it, the scene, you were like, oh, Shaggy's in this movie. And right when you said that, it cut to the African-American
guy. I noticed that too.
My brain went, that's not Shaggy.
The commander. And I'm like, oh, that guy kind of looks like Shaggy too, but the other one. All right.
I was like, wait, are there two Shaggies in this for like half a second? I was like, no, that's not the other Shaggy.
What is this, Game Over Man? Yeah.
And then they were in the same scenes together over and over again.
Okay, spoilers, they have a duel later.
Right?
Shaggy on Shaggy violence.
All right, so I'm not the only one who thought for a brief second there could be two Shaggies.
Calm down, Mr. Boombastic. I'm a little lapa. Fuck. Yeah. So, all right, guys. You may be wondering, how do we see this movie? We got it through Netflix because we still get DVDs. Because finding it elsewhere, like, you have to pay like $5. And,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, which if you've never seen it and you are into Jason Statham movies, I'd say worth the $5. But yeah. I totally understand if you don't want to. But guys, dude, get back on the Netflix discs. It's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, you find some stuff that you won't find streaming. That's for damn sure.
Right? Where the hell else are you going to get The Conqueror?
Right?
Coming soon!
Oh, but on the DVD that we got, we also got some wonderful previews for upcoming movies like AVP Requiem. Check out our past episode for that. And also like what I think is like a straight-to-DVD Bachelor Party sequel that had that like Harlan Williams.
That did
and,
not look good at all.
Yeah.
Nothing. Like, it's the movie that shows all and hides nothing. And it's just a bunch of girls taking their tops off.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys remember those mid-2000s, right? Like, all those American Pie sequels.
that's why I did not see Hot Tub Time Machine for 15 years, because it came out around that same time and was advertised as one of those kinds of movies. Spoiler, it's not.
I mean, yeah, not as over the top, but yeah. Yeah, guys, check out Hot Tub Time Machine. In the sequel, too, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of...
It's not that bad.
Speaking of that, babe, do you know this is based on a video game?
What?
I know, it's an Uwe Boll movie in the 2000s, so it's based on a video game. Have you ever played Dungeon Siege?
Never played Dungeon Siege.
Me neither. Apparently it's one of those, like RPGs, like I assume, like, not D&D. What were the ones, like, before Warcraft and all those?
Oh, I'm thinking it's just the Western style dungeon crawlers.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of Orcs and Elves is the only one I can think of, and I'm the only person I know who's ever played that. No, Felicia too. Shout out to Flea, who does not listen to this podcast. The two of us were obsessed with that game for a while. Like,
I believe it.
That's one of the few games that like I lost sleep because I couldn't put it down.
Oh wow.
Like, when the battery would die on my Game Boy, I'd be like, oh, thank God, I can go to bed.
Now I can rest. Excellent. Well, yeah. So, yeah, it's like a little RPG or whatever. But, yeah, I couldn't tell you more than that. Apparently, there were like 3 or 4 of them, and I was looking it up the other day. But, yeah, it looks like around late 90s, early 2000s, so probably like PlayStation 1 or something.
Hey, if you played it, let us know what you thought of it.
Yeah, totally. But we start off with Ray Liotta and Lily Sobieski making out in a bed, and I'm like, hold on a fucking sec. This doesn't seem right.
There's something off about this.
As I written down, making out in Middle Earth. Guys, okay, so Lord of the Rings, Return of the King and all that came out, 2003 when the last one, Return of the King, came out? Something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
This came out 2007. Look, making a fantasy movie like this after Lord of the Rings is kind of like making a dinosaur movie after Jurassic Park.
Yeah, we were discussing this while we were watching the movie. If you make something too good, you ruin the genre forever. Yeah. Like, you can't do shark movies now after Jaws.
You can't make Westerns since Unforgiven.
Right?
I mean, you have to be quirky like Quick and the Dead or something like that. That's...
Yeah. Or you have to be gay cowboys eating pudding.
Oh my god! Yeah.
She's trying to figure out how to stuff it inside the torn fabric.
Store the fish inside of the cat tower.
She was like trying to paw it while like having it in her mouth.
Get it? All right. Anyway, since we're watching cats,
sorry, it just was really cute.
Welcome to Everything I Learned from Movies, where we watch cats every episode.
Did you figure it out? Or he's gonna lick my feet. You're just here to lick my feet. That's so weird.
Yeah. Anyway, Ray Liotta's sucking Lily Sobieski's face.
By the way, what is the age difference there?
Oh, God. Oh, do you want me to look it up? I'm guessing 30, 35 years.
I was gonna say 40 years.
Yeah.
It's like a generation and a half.
Yeah. This was 16 years after Goodfellas, when even then it'd be a little weird, so... Ugh. But yeah, okay, so, but yeah, we see that he's like, I don't know, literally sucking power out of her. We find out later because she's got mage blood in her or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Stop! Every time we're together, I'm just so tired.
Oh, she's like, leave, and is that what you wish of me? Oh, I'm like, oh god, he's the Wishmaster, he's run!
Like, oh, but first he's like, perhaps that's just what being in love does to a woman.
Oh god, yeah, okay, yes.
Oh, it's so creepy, ah!
Yeah, it's a little weird, but...
a little weird.
But then we cut to Gimli as a full-sized man, and I'm like, wait a minute. Right. John Rhys Davies, what are you doing in here? Yes. This isn't Grizzly 2.
This movie has no credibility, so it's borrowing some of mine.
Yeah, and we just see Gimli as like a full-sized man, and I'm just like, and he's like, I couldn't even tell like where he was, like if he was like in the castle or what. And he says a line, and then we basically cut to Jason Statham pulling turnips out of a field with his son, a little boy, like 5-6-year-old boy. And we see him pull out a boomerang and throw it at some crows to scare him off, and like, oh, you missed him. Oh, we just need to scare him, not kill him.
Yeah, why does he have a boomerang?
Because he's a farmer, babe.
And then why is that boomerang not a bigger part of this movie later?
Oh, it's I thought it was gonna come in at the end, but spoilers, it doesn't. But it does come in a little later.
Yeah, no. The boomerang plays until about halfway through the movie, and then it just disappears.
Oh, the ring plays.
The boomerang plays. Shout out to another movie we've not done on this podcast.
We only do bad movies. No. So yeah, what happens after this? Oh yeah, neighbor Ron Perlman walks by with his pig, just walking it down the street, jumping
Steve's
around like a puppy.
Oh, he's walking a dog. Like, Steve, look closer, please.
Hmm? Oh my god, it's a pig! Is he gonna eat that later? Yeah. But yeah, Ron Perlman, what's his name? Norick is his name in this movie.
Yeah.
He's basically like, so, thought about joining the king's army yet, farmer buddy? And Statham's of course like, no. Cut to them having dinner, and I guess the conversation's still going, where like, oh, what have you been up to, Noick? You know, just try to get people to join the army, no big whoop. Yeah, it's I don't know. But yeah, then it's babe, it's bedtime. You know what that means.
Untie that top.
Yeah.
I'm the farmer's wife.
By the way, farmer's wife played by Claire Forlani. You might know her from, what, Meet Joe Black and, like, Mallrats? I'm sure she's been in other things.
It's almost as if they got a woman of appropriate age for Jason Statham in this movie.
Is she? I'm sure she is, yeah.
She's closer than...
Oh, yeah, much closer than Ray Liotta and Lily Sobieski. Yeah. I mean, Statham's a little older than you might think, babe. He was in the Olympic trials in, like, the 80s.
Right? Oh, I know, no. But, I mean, at least it feels more appropriate. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes, like, oftentimes in movies like this, they just get some 18-year-old bimbo with huge tits.
Yeah.
Yeah, get a Pam Anderson type in a prime.
You leave Christina looking at it. Wait.
Or you just get somebody who can't close their mouth and stares vaguely into the void.
Well, why are you talking about Snow White and the Huntsman again?
Right.
You just love that movie. Babe, you know what they say. You catch more flies with an open mouth than vinegar.
Oh, goddamn. Give me some vinegar. See, and that's why I'm a salty bitch, Steve. No flies. I am just piss and vinegar.
Yeah, so we're getting to the disrobe scene, and the wife looks at Jason Statham and says, it was a, tell me how you love me.
Steve, tell me how you love me.
Was it, these hands speak louder than words ever could. Finger bang, bang. Bang, bang, bang. I'm gonna finger bang, bang you into my life. Guys, we're also watching South Park. Can I introduce Izzy to the pleasures of it? Check it out.
Turns out it's not as bad as I thought it was.
Right?
I'd only seen like 3 episodes and 2 of them were not funny.
Yep, I'm changing it, guys. So we got to the next morning and the wife and son are off to market to sell off their turnips and other produce.
Oh, and she has a good low-cut top to show off those turnips.
Hell yeah, that's a saleswoman, baby.
Right?
Oh, yeah, and I love how she even mentioned it later, like to the right. Family, where it's like,
they try and scam me because I'm a woman, so I charge them twice as much because I'm a woman.
Yeah! Yeah. Anyway. And yeah, we then cut to fucking Bandit and Shaggy having dinner. I'm like, wait, what? Burt Reynolds? What the fuck?
Right?
Apparently Burt Reynolds plays the king. I'm just gonna call him the king. I think that's all I have in my notes.
Yeah.
And then his nephew, who I don't think I caught his name either. I just have him as nephew in the notes. So. But yeah, it's Burt Reynolds and Matthew Lillard. And then, the commander of the army or whatever comes in and is basically like, King, there's this army that's taking over all these lands with ways unnatural of man. Like, are you saying there might be a wizard involved? Dun, dun, dun. And then, we see some, we then cut to a farmer chopping some wood and, he hears some noise like in the forest around him. And we see, like, little shadowy people, like, running around in the trees and stuff. And so he casually just starts walking towards... I don't know, he already had an axe in his hand. I figured he would have taken that with him,
right?
But...
No.
Yeah, I guess he's going to get his Alibaba swords.
Yeah.
But, meanwhile, the wife and son are, like, pulling up at her parents' house, like, the grandparents' home. And we're introduced to the uncle, who has long hair like Legolas, but he's not an elf. Not an elf. Don't expect that to
Although
be a twist.
Although he's the only blonde in his family, so product of the mailman?
That's true. The local mailman who was half-elf or something. But basically he ends up with a farmer being attacked by orcs, and he like fights them off. And then I'll say it right now. There's a lot of fight scenes in this movie. I dig it. Choreography and everything, the camera work. There's a couple where it's like cut, 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 but it's still like you have good frame of reference, and like the action's good, and
yeah, you know where everybody is in the physicality of the space. You know who is who, even though everybody is dressed fairly similarly in this movie. Like the knights are all in their like knight uniforms, basically. Oh, yeah. The peasants are all sort of in the same rags, but you can tell everybody apart without it having to be like, this guy's wearing a red shirt, this guy's wearing a blue shirt.
Yeah. Oh, and when you see like the scenes, like there's some fairly epic scenes where there's like hundreds of extras and stuff.
They're real extras.
Yeah, and it's like a sweeping shot of like most, well, there's some CGI stuff in there, but yeah, there's like a lot where it's like they those are real mountains and everything.
Yeah, they built real villages for this.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking amazing, especially, well, we'll get to what the budget was, but like compared to, I don't know, other movies made around this time and stuff, like, not too bad. Especially
shit, compared to the giant battle scenes in like, oh my god, Avengers 2, Infinity War.
Avengers Endgame?
Endgame, yeah. The big, like, giant battlefield. You could tell all the shit around the outside was super CGI.
Well, yeah.
And, I mean, I get that that's, like, a superhero movie and this is a peasant movie, but, like, this felt like a village.
Yeah.
Whereas that felt like a video game, but, like, a Super Nintendo video game. It felt kind of Donkey Kong.
It's CGI in a CGI world, though, where this is... Yeah. This, you can tell when the CGI comes up on this, but you realize how little it is.
It's the fact that you can point it out makes you sort of realize how little there is in it.
Yeah. But nice little fight scene of farmer killing a bunch of orcs. And then he sees, like, I don't know, Ron Perlman, his neighbor's house, like, burning or whatever. So he runs over there to help him out. And we get a nice little fight scene, like, in a burning barn and stuff, too. And
yeah, well, and this is when I realized Jason Statham just calls Ron Perlman Soldier the whole time. And I'm like, wait, is his name Soldier? Oh, no, Knight. He calls him Knight.
Oh, yeah, he says Knight, but yeah, I guess his name is Norik. Like, everybody else calls him Norik, but...
Yeah. But Jason Statham just calls him Knight the whole time. And that's why I was like, wait, is his name Knight? Is it Knight and Farmer, and then everybody else has real names? It's like, oh, I guess that's just what they called each other growing up.
Yeah. Oh, and we also get the boomerang tracking shot, because he grabs a boomerang and we see it, like, you know, like bullet time almost, but with a boomerang going and, like, hitting a couple of orcs and
which
stuff.
Which was really cool.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. I've seen far worse kind of shots like that. See Max Payne. at the grandparents' house, like, Leo Sobieski's, like, up in the bell tower while a wedding's going on, because they're like, oh, yes, and when the wedding is done, we ring the bell five times to show that their union, and blah, blah, blah. But that's also as, like, orcs are attacking the village and burning it down. Oh, yeah, we cut to Lee Sobieski, like, training with the commander of the guard, who's basically a poor man's Michael Jai White. Yeah, the one that kind of looks like Shaggy, but a little buffer. but then the nephew kid, the prince or whatever nephew, comes in, says, hey, you should go to the army. Apparently there's a fight going on. Go, Ghost, get away. Yeah, Farmer... there's, like, a scene where, like, Farmer and Norik are, like, basically fighting, like, through a village to get to where the grandparents are, because, you know, they're, like, three towns over or whatever, right? So they gotta go through one and then just keep running while the village is still fighting, but they get to the grandparents' village just in time to see, like, the bell tower burning down.
Ooh.
And we also see that Ray Liotta, he's, like, this wizard or mage or whatever you want to call him, and he's got these, like, orc generals that he, like, can see through the eyes and control. So basically, like, his avatar.
Yeah.
So we see him, like, looking through the eyes and, like, controlling the orc arm. He's like, all right, this flank goes over here. You know, just go, like, hand motions or whatever. Basically, Farmer comes running in and, like, cuts the head off of one of these avatars. And then we see he just kind of, like, goes into another one.
Yes, they're gonna go around and cut all the heads off.
Yeah. And oh yeah, when he, like, decapitates him or whatever, it's like that supernatural, like, demon smoke or whatever that comes out instead of, like, blood or whatever.
It's a good little effect, though.
Yeah, it works. And, you know, keeps it from being, like, I don't know, R, NC-17 or maybe. I think this is rated R, right? Like, there's not really swearing. It's just kind of...
I don't even know if this violent? Is rated R. This might be, like, PG-13.
Yeah, you're right. There's not even a whole lot of blood or anything.
Yeah. Because you can get away with, like, killing orcs and not getting a harsher rating. Like, that's why, like, in older movies, they're always fighting, like, aliens or monsters.
Yeah, as long as, like, the blood is green or blue or some shit, then it's like... let me see what the rating is on this real quick.
Like, if it's an R, it's only because they hate the director. Like,
I mean,
it's like the Hammer being an R.
Oh. No, PG-13.
There we go.
Violent yet bloodless battle scenes involving death by arrow, fire, sword, and boomerang. But yeah, PG-13. Yeah, there we go. See? See, the kids can watch it. Just like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Hell, it might even be less violent than Lord of the Rings. There, I'll sit down.
I mean, yeah.
No, actually, real people might have been hurt in, you know, some of the stunts and stuff, or at least bruised, but yeah. Oh, yeah, so then, there's a scene where, like, farmer, like, opens the door, like, the grandparents' house, and inside there's, like, you know, one of the generals, basically there's, like, a little standoff, like, one of the generals... the Ray Liotta's controlling, he, like, has, like, a sword to the grandpa's throat, and, like, the grandma and his kid are, like, all, like, there, but, like, you know, there's, like, other orcs next to him. And so there's a little fight scene where he's fighting off the orcs, and then slowly but surely, like, it's a good 3 or 4 minute scene, we see, like, the kid, like, run off, and he's, like, running through the village as, like, you know, everyone's, like, fighting around him and stuff like that.
Well, I'm like, Jason Statham, you live in a world where orcs are real. You didn't teach your kid to even defend himself?
Yeah, right. You know, like the little self-defense thing, like stomp on the foot, stab in the nuts kind of thing.
Yeah! This kid does nothing!
Well, he runs so far away, but Ray Liotta, like, I don't know, took control of, like, another general, chased him down, and the kid don't make it. neither does the grandpa or the grandma. Like, they're all, like, instantly... killed and lying dead there. Yeah, a little sad scene where they, like, you know, make the little grave for the kid.
Yeah. Oh, and Jason Statham's like, well, I need one more hole for my wife. So, turns out we didn't find your wife.
Oh. Yeah. Well, no sign of my wife, huh? Okay, so then she's probably still alive. I'll go find her. And, yeah, then we get a scene where, like, the nephew goes to talk to, you know, Rizzard, Galeon, or Ray Liotta, Galeon is his name or something. And apparently this is all behind the king's back, you know, it's the nephew trying to, you know, get the king killed and take over the kingdom, and he rules it, and he's got this mage at his side, you know, King Arthur type stuff, right? And then the king and a bunch of knights, like, show up at the village after, you know, after they've already, like, buried the dead and everything. And they basically, the king's like, I apologize, we should have been here, but we were, you know, busy elsewhere, and it's like a day's travel to get here. And, yeah, of course, the villager, you know, led by Farmer, he's basically like, yeah, where were you when this was all going down? And the king's like, well, I'm here now. You want to join our army and help us destroy these armies? And he's like, no, I'm going to go on this on my own. And he just, like, walks off. Yeah, but the uncle and Norik, they, you know, join up with Farmer. And, you know, they're going to go look for his wife, Selena?
Something like that.
Something like that. Maybe a bit. Solana. That's her name. There we are. And then, yeah, we find out Gimli's character is named Merrick, and he's a mage, too. I had no idea.
Right?
But he's chatting with Farmer, and he's basically like, hey, your king needs you. And Farmer's like, that's cool, bro. And just, like, walks away.
I gotta get my wife. See ya.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe another time.
Where will you grow your crops if there's no kingdom? Don't give a shit. Gotta go.
I don't know. Wherever it take me. Yeah, we get a whole scene where the bridge is out. Except there's one rope across the way, you know, like in F9.
Yeah.
So how are they going to cross this bridge? Of course, they load up in the cart, hit it going about 80 miles an hour. It catches on the wheel. He turns it, swings across the bridge, gets to the other side. Not a scratch on him.
Steve, I think you're thinking a different movie.
Oh.
Wait. They free the horses.
Oh, shit, that's
they
right.
They get a little strip of leather, and they slide across.
Yeah, they, like, pull their belts and, like, try to slide across, and they go about halfway. And
which
then
is what
like,
would
across.
Actually happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jason Statham easily kicks his legs up and crawls
Olympic
across.
Athlete, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so Ron Perlman and Elf Boy decide to...
Uncle. Yes, Elf Boy.
Uncle
yeah.
Elf Boy.
Uncle Elfie.
Uncle Elfo. They decide to go together for some reason, and then they both get stuck, and Ron Perlman, like, sort of slides forward and then slides back, and they both fall in the river. Ha ha ha, they're dead. End of movie.
Yep. Wait. Roll credits. No. No, they're like, oh, I think I've saved us some time. Anyway. Wah, wah. Yeah, so the king, you know, after being told to fuck off by Farmer or whatever, goes back to the castle. And this is where we see nephew, you know, Matthew Lillard sitting on the throne, getting a little freaky with one of the, I don't know, local wenches or something. And he's basically like, hey, don't be doing that shit on my throne. I'm still king. And you have no security here, asshole. You know, you're supposed to be protecting the castle. And he's like, take him out of my sight. Get him away from me. And so then, nephew basically goes to, like, whine and complain to the Ray Liotta wizard. And basically be like, make it happen. I'm tired of waiting. So Ray Liotta is then like, all right, I'm going to need a charge up on my mage juices. So he goes to see Lily Sobes. Sobieski. Good old Sobes. And she's just, like, lying in bed as he, like, you know, like, teleports into the room. And basically now, after they've had this whatever situation going on for a couple months, now she's like, is there a reason my dad really hates you? Like, are you an asshole, maybe? Or evil?
Like, dad usually has a pretty good sense of people. Yeah. Is there anything I should know?
It's because I take what I want. I take what I please. Including your virtue.
You know what? Maybe you should go.
Okay.
You're trying to be in a prick.
Okay. McCavity. He's gone.
Oh, he takes her fucking fire with him. Her fireplace goes out.
Oh, shit. That's right. Yeah. It did get dark enough. Oh, shit. So, yeah, we get a scene where, like, the orcs are, like, transporting all the villagers they captured. And we see Solana's among them. She's alive. And then we get a scene where the nephew goes to talk to the king, and he's basically like, I'm sorry, Uncle Kingy, I'll change, I'll do better, I just feel like I don't know what I'm doing. And I just have written down, hey, Matthew Lillard plays a decent prick in most, in the roles where it calls for it, you know, underrated little actor sometimes. We cut to the forest, and, Farmer Uncle and Norik or whatever, they're, trekking through the forest, and then we start seeing, like, these, vines kind of moving around in the trees and stuff, and, basically snatches them up, like, in a sling trap or whatever, like, hanging upside down. And then we get a nice little Cirque du Soleil performance for a couple of minutes.
Yeah!
And we see, like, ladies, like, in the vines, like, being lowered down, or, like, doing the little, like, where is it, where they, like, wrap the drapes around and spin down, yeah, and stuff like that?
Yeah, I forget exactly what it's called, but yeah, basically Cirque du Soleil. It's a really good way to add, like, they never fully announce that they're, like, wood nymphs, but, like, gives them, like, that ethereal quality.
Yeah, that's just it. Like, I was like, wait, are they, like, magical, wood nymphs, or are they just, like, Amazons who, I don't know, just attack from the trees, like Robin Hood style?
No, they definitely have magic.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, especially when we see him swinging on the vines that just kind of, like, go through, like, Tarzan, like, on a roller.
Right?
On a roller line.
I don't think vines live in in England, but okay.
Oh, yeah, they got vines. Yeah, they got all the vines, like, in the fences and stuff, right? Like, you know, like, the
not,
fences
not, but
are
not,
important.
Like, up trees. They have, like, ivy.
Oh, in the same... Oh, I don't know. I haven't been traversing the forests of England. I'm sure they got
there
somewhere.
I haven't either, but I don't know. These felt very jungly vines, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. Good point. They require a lot of rain. Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, we see they're led by, Terminator 3. No, Kristanna Loken's, like, the leader of the wood nymphs or whatever. And she's basically like, bitches, leave! No, like, get out of my forest! And they're like, yeah, we're actually lost. If you could, like, point us in that direction, we'd be happy to get out of here.
We'll get the fuck out of your forest as soon as we can, ma'am. Which way do we go?
You're like, ugh, men, typical, you know, that kind of thing.
Look, since you don't actually want to be here, we'll let you live this time. Just stay the fuck out of our forest, okay? Right.
Yeah, so when we then cut to Sobes, she's speaking with the king, and she's basically like, hey, so I've kind of been hanging out with this Galian guy who, are you okay? And then the
he's
king
a
just
Galian.
Like, oh, stop, take me to your leader, for real.
Yeah, right. Look, he doesn't look like he belongs in the rest of this movie. Whoever did his makeup... was not who did the rest of the sets.
Mike. Oh, he's got the Billy Zane eyeshadow from Blood Rain.
Yeah.
That's how you know they're evils, because the the eyeliner.
The eyeliner.
Yeah. Or if they have really dark brows and facial hair like Burt Reynolds does.
Is he evil?
I know, he's not, but yeah, but he's got that look. You can't argue that. No. especially when his hair is like white.
What?
I guess silver, but yeah.
Yeah, you know. He's an old man, Steve.
Oh, yeah. but yeah, so the king passes out, and the nephew is too, like, he's, what's happening to me? And we basically find out, like, oh, yeah, did you have enjoy your breakfast with the king? Because I poisoned him, and apparently he gave you some of that food. But it's okay, because I got an antidote for you, bro. You just remember who has the real power in this relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then, what happens for her? Yeah. Basically, like, within, like, an hour, the nephew, like, leaves with two legions of the army. It was the 11th and 12th division of the army. Yeah, I almost wanted to say, like, we still got the first 10, though, right?
Right.
Like, we should be okay. Yes, in 13 through 24. Yeah, we're good. Yeah. Yeah, what happens from here? Oh, yeah, basically, like, one of the generals of, like, the 11th Army is basically, you know, the nephew shows up, and he's basically like, all right, you're all under my command, and I'm the king now, and blah, blah, blah. The general's like, we take orders from the king, not your bitch ass. And then,
oh, but the I want to be king.
But then the nephew, like, stabs him or whatever, and he's like, anyone else want to be killed for treason? And I'm like, yeah, you would be killed. Like, right. Like, you just killed, like, their real leader. You're getting two in the head.
Right.
They're inventing guns just to put two in your head.
Surprised you didn't get two arrows in the face.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. But anyway, yeah, so he's got two legions, and, yeah, you know, we find out, oh, Galeon's behind this, and he somehow tapped into Sob's bloodline, and it's like, oh, yeah, he did.
Ooh, bye.
And then, yeah, the wood nymphs, they basically lead a farmer uncle in Oric, we'll call him Fun for short, lead him to the forest. And they're basically like, all right, you're out of the forest. Hey, there's that orc thing you were looking for. Okay, bye. And then just, like, immediately leave. And then orcs attack them. like orcs coming out of the forest, by the way, attack them. But, yeah. But, yeah, they fight them off, and they start, like, looking around the caravan or whatever they got going on. You know, they're like sneaking, and then I guess Statham, or it was a farmer, like, sees his wife, and he's like, Solona, Solona, dunk, thunked on the back of the head. And his wife, like, looks around like, someone say my name. All right, back to sleep, you know, kind of thing. The king, he wakes up in his bed, and John Rhys Davies, Merrick, the mage guy, he's there by his side and is basically like, all right, who poisoned me? Let's go kick their ass. And he's like, well, it was your nephew. And also, you're, like, dying. So, I mean, maybe not get too stressed up, but we'll see if we can save you.
Right. Yeah, you got poisoned by a Galeon.
Ew. Yeah, the next morning, we cut to the battlefield, and the commander, the Michael Jai White Shaggy-looking guy, he's doing his
other Shaggy.
Yeah, he's doing his first battle speech, where he's like, "We'll fight in the name of Ebb," and it's like, "Oh, okay, the kingdom's name is Ebb, so it's in the name of the kingdom for this first fight." All right, close enough. Roll credits. No. Oh, that's right. And then we cut to like farmer like having a noose around his neck, and I'm like, oh no, just like Dave Carradine. But then, yeah, one of the orc generals being controlled by Ray Liotta is like asking him, "Who are you?" And then like pulls on the rope and like starts hanging him. and then farmer like spins around and like, I guess somehow like cuts the general. The avatar guy, even though like his sword is still in his sheath,
yeah,
it like hit him in the neck, and you see the little smoke thing come out, And then the rope just kind of breaks, I guess, under the massive weight of Jason Statham.
Right. I don't know. maybe the smoke, the Oaksmoor smoke, like, burned it or something?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we'll go with that.
Oh, he cut the rope when he did the spin around with the
But it was still in the sheath, and it was above his head. Don't worry about it. The important thing is he falls, lands face first and, like, passes out. Because, you know, autoerotic asphyxiation, am I right?
Right.
He just came so hard, he passed out for a sec. And then, yeah, we see the wife, Solana, she wakes up, and her brother and Norik are in cages now, too, because they got captured, you know, when Statham got knocked out and all that. And I love how she's, like, talking to the brother, like, oh, where's Farmer? Like, I'm not sure. He was with us, but we got separated when we got captured. Oh, where's Zeph? Is he with my parents? Or with our parents? And yeah. You're like, I mean, yeah, sort of.
Yes, but there's something I have to tell you.
Oh, what's that?
They're all dead.
Yeah, like, she goes full, yeah. Like, soap opera acting.
As she should, her child is dead.
Oh, and then, of course, because she's crying, then it starts to rain. Yes. And the rain wakes up Farmer, and the brother's like, don't worry. As long as Farmer's alive, he'll come after you. I mean, basically, he has nothing else left to do.
Right?
So...
They burned his crops and killed his children. What the hell else has he got yeah. to do now?
I mean it said a little more heroic than that, but it's like, seriously though, what else is he going to do?
Do you remember there was something we watched that was like a sword and sorcery movie, and like, I remember like the bad guy in power was like, never take away everything from them.
Yeah.
Like, always give them something to stay home to, basically. And it was like, oh, that's deviously smart.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what movie that was. It sounds like it's like a Mad Max situation kind of thing, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then, Farmer, yeah, so he wakes up and Merrick basically pops up next to him and he's like, oh, hello, Farmer, fancy seeing you here. Here, have some health potion. Goo-goo-goo-goo-goo.
Come on, no more, it's gross.
Would you like to play again?
Yeah.
Yes, I've always wondered how that tasted. Probably nasty as fuck, though.
Don't drink it. Poison.
Yeah. So then we see Wizard Leota. He's checking out the orc cave facility that's like making all the orcs, you know, like Lord of the Rings kind of thing. This is where some bad CGI kind of comes in with it, where it's like the panning back and shows it. But yeah. It's not the worst, but definitely not the best. And then so we cut to Sobes like in her bedroom, like ready to kill herself. And it's a really weird scene because she like has the like dagger and is ready to like harikiri herself, you know, fucking Juliet style or whatever.
It's very Princess Bride.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think she's even the same dress.
Right. Like, it'd be a shame to damage such a perfect set of breasts.
Exactly. But instead, like, she can't do it and she just like kind of like falls to the ground, drops the sword. And then like her handmaiden comes in, and I swear we've seen her in something else too. It might just be like an episode of Supernatural familiar. Or something. But yeah, she runs up and is basically like, oh. I don't remember what the fuck her name was. Mirella, what are you doing? That's it. And she's like, oh, I don't know. Anyway, let's suit up for battle. And she's like, right? Putting armor on. And I'm like, you were going to kill yourself 10 seconds ago.
Well, anyway, seeing my handmaiden gave me a reason to live.
Yeah, exactly. Now we can have a relationship. Now that I've cut Ray Liotta out of my life.
Right?
I don't know. But, the king and, Merrick, the mage, you know, the king's, like, in the tent, like, in a bed, like, on death's door, kind of. And then, the farmer comes in, and, basically, this is where we find out that, I've been watching, you know, Merrick's like, I've been watching you for a while. I believe you may, do you know who your father is, by chance? And he's like, no, I was taken in by Norik when I was like 3 years old or something.
I found wandering a battlefield and
yeah.
See my parents were killed.
And then you see the king like eyebrows raise or whatever, like, that's why I think you may be the... There was only one child in that battle. Do you remember that battle, king? And he's like, are you trying to say this guy's my son? And yeah, basically the whole thing like, well, why didn't you tell me I had a son? And Merrick's like, Well, you know, he grew up strong and safe in Stonebridge or whatever, being a farmer.
Do you remember how much we were under attack for years after that? He would have been killed by your enemies. He grew up strong and smart and with good morals being away from you.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, hey, we have a point.
Like, I was sort of waiting for John Rhys Davies to be like, you don't want him to turn out like your nephew, did you?
Right. Oh, that's right. And he wasn't in bed in the tent. Yeah, he was like standing up, walking around, like doing a whole Hamlet scene.
Yeah, because this was after, John Rhys Davies cured him of the poison.
Well, that's the thing though. He's like, oh, like, he gives him the potion or whatever, but he's still like, but you're gonna die, though, so, TikTok. But like, this'll help, but you're still gonna die, you know, it's only a matter of time before the poison kills him or something. Yeah, it was like a weird wording.
I think, like, now having watched it, I think it was like, your destiny is still to die, but this isn't what's gonna kill you.
This buys you some time.
Poison's not what's gonna kill you, but get your air lined up quick.
Get your affairs in order, you know. Have a notary handy, you know what I mean?
As the gypsy woman said, you're gonna die this week. This isn't going to be what's killing you tonight, but...
Yeah,
TikTok, motherfucker.
Because, I have written down my next slide. Like, weren't you dying a second ago? Yeah. All right. So, Farmer, he's, like, packing up to leave. He's like, whatever, fuck this. You know, no, fuck this bullshit. I'm not, you know, son of a king. But Merrick shows up, talks him out of it. We then cut to, like, the nephew and the commander of the army, like, having a little chat, like, you know, but before battle, like, on the battlefield, where they're basically like, if you surrender now, we'll promise not to rape your women too hard. But no, but the nephew's like, you are the one who is in treason, for I am the king. And then the real king shows up on a horse, and the 11th and 12th legions are like, whatever, bitch, bye. And then, as I written down, so killed the nephew, right?
Yeah.
Right? That's like the next thing? that's how these things are done? No? Okay, don't worry about it. We then cut to battle speech number 2, where the commander of the army is like, we will win because we are men, not beasts like we fight today!
We are Sparta!
Yep. And then the orcs start arriving, and like, you know, archers prepare, and, you know, fire off a couple rounds and stuff like that. And Farmer, like, walks up to the front of the battle, like, with no armor whatsoever. Like, he's just got his, you know, his Renfair attire on. Like,
yeah, he's still just a farmer.
Yeah. and, you know, swords or whatever. And then, we get, like, the tremors. Like, there's, like, you know, when, like, the tremors are approaching, you see the little things coming under the ground.
It's the vines under the ground, I believe.
But the... Do the vines pop up in this scene?
That's just it. They go past the king's army because they've been okayed. Yeah. And then they go after the nephew's, like, fleeing cowards or whatever.
Okay, because we get the tremors, which, makes sense as the vines or whatever. And then some ninjas show up?
So the ninjas came with the army. So before they did charge, the ninjas went up the trees, and then they shot the bow with the... Or the arrow with the jingly bells to alert the king that the orcs were coming. Get ready.
Okay, so they were part of the army or whatever.
Yeah, I think you were writing a note about the tremors when the ninjas...
Like, I saw them in the trees and stuff, but I was like, oh, those must be, like, stuntmen as the nymphs or something like that.
They were at the front of the legion with the archers, and then they scurried up the tree, they spotted the orcs from far away, and then shot the jingly bell. And
but as every damn ninjas, you're a few months early.
Watch out for ninja life! Yeah.
But then we get this battle scene, like, in a forest, and the scale and, like, the choreography and stuff with it is actually really fucking impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple things, like, you see Jason Statham, like, running through there, slashing dudes, and then doing, like, a front flip, you know, obviously, like, a stunt person or a gymnast or whatever doing a front flip, and then he lands and, like, cuts a couple other people, and, you know, that's all well and good, but, like, the rest of it, like, you see dozens at a time of, like, people, like, in combat, like, as the camera pans through the forest and stuff, like, it's really impressive.
The front forward flip or whatever, I feel like it's probably very the video game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah, you're probably right.
That's what I was thinking, because I was like, man, this
feels out of
place.
That's like the double jump or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. There's that, and then right after that, he's going to be running on top of people's heads.
Yes, yeah, okay.
While they're on horseback. Yeah. I'm like, that must be something you can unlock in the video game.
That's fucking awesome. Yeah.
I enjoyed that scene the way I enjoyed Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, tossing horses and jumping from horseback.
One thing, though, the horses in this scene are real.
Right.
Oh, there's also the scene of, like, one of the orcs, like, setting themselves on fire and then sitting in a catapult and getting launched. And, like, you see the person, like, the orc, like, on fire going, you know, obviously on, like, a cord or something, like, through the forest. But it's like, that's a real person on fire, like,
yeah.
I don't know, ziplining through trees.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's some really good stunts.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, what happens from here? Oh, yeah, the nephew and the... Oh, no, sorry, Norik and the wife, like, arrive at the castle, and they, like, see the castle, and it's, like a volcano's going off, and there's, like, fire everywhere, you know, like Mordor.
Yeah.
And basically it's like, is this where we go to pay for our sins?
No, it's where we go to pay for our virtues.
Yeah.
Sins are welcome here.
Exactly. Ugh. Yep.
You're a little ugh.
Ugh.
You made a lot of that noise just whenever the wife was in the scene.
She's not giving good dialogue.
She's not. She's doing a great job. Like, I don't know this movie is just true. She's doing a great job. I'm sorry, Dr. Bull.
He didn't write it.
The roles for women are historically in his movies not the strongest.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, this is from the writer of Splice and Blood Honey.
Yeah, fuck you, that guy.
I don't know. It's trust me, we see a lot of movies where there's worse, but yeah, it's kind of like, so what happens? Ninjas attacking. Ray Liotta, like, takes over one of the generals, and, like, this one general, this is where, like, Jason Statham's, like, running on people's heads and stuff to, like, kick a general off of, off the horse and then decapitate him, so then he goes to another general, and, like, ninjas and all the archers, like, turn him into a pincushion, and then, like, ninjas attack, and he's, like, kind of knocking them all off, and basically, Statham's going through and just killing these generals left and right, but he keeps transporting control to another body, you know, like a demon or whatever in Supernatural.
Yeah.
Basically, when the battle's all over, and the nephew's still alive, and he just, like, runs off, and he's got, like, four or five guards or something with him. Like, they weren't orcs, were they? Like they were, like, legit, like, knights, right?
He had a couple of knights. Yeah, because they kept avoiding the orcs, because he thinks he can double-cross Galeon.
Double-triple-cross? Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, I'll just go back to the castle when everybody's dead, and then I'll be king. Oh,
yeah, that's pretty much it, because every time he sees an orc, they're like, let's go over here. Don't let the guy see us.
Yeah, let's just...
Yeah, yeah, he's got a couple of usurpers with him.
Yeah, but then they're, like, going through the forest, and they see, like, one of the generals, like, you know, that Ray Liotta have been, like, hanging in the trees.
Yeah.
And he's like, let's get out of here, maybe. And then Sobieski shows up out of nowhere and is like, freeze, motherfucker! And they're like, what are you gonna do? We're, like, seven dudes on horseback, and you just popped out of nowhere. And then all of a sudden the vines, like, come down and, like, take all the soldiers and start hanging them. And then you get the nephew and Sobieski fighting for a bit.
Yeah.
And then, like, the nephew just kind of, like, runs away. And the Amazons... Okay, this is the scene where the Amazons are, like, chasing him, like, on the vine zip lines or whatever.
Yes! They got their ethereal music going.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because they're magical beings of the forest, Steve.
Oh, I get it. I really like the, like, Cirque du Soleil thing. Like, it's a nice little touch of just, like, I don't know, weird kind of magical quirkiness and stuff in the middle of a fight scene.
I don't know. Well, and then it, like, again, it's something that's a practical effect.
Yeah, yeah.
So it lends them that, like, feeling of etherealness without having to rely really heavily on a bunch of weird effects.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, long story short, the nymphs or whatever catch up with them, and basically they're ready to, like, just fucking kill him right then and there. Like, everybody in this movie should have by now, but Sobieski's like, no, I'll take him from here. And basically, he's, like, tied up in vines. She basically just, like, grabs one of the vines and, like, tugs on it a little bit. And I'm like, you know those are attached to trees, right? You're not pulling the trees with you. But yeah, anyway, scene cuts. We then go to Norik and the uncle, basically like trying to cause like a. They're like taken to the slave cave or whatever.
Yeah.
And like before they're like thrown in a cage or whatever, they like fight and like, you know, fight off a couple orcs. But then Norik gets stabbed in the gut. Oh no, Ron Perlman! We then cut to the king dying in a tent. Oh, that's right, because the nephew hit him with an arrow. That's right. That was it. That was why the nephew ran after. He like fired an arrow, hit the King Burt Reynolds, and then like ran off like, hey, I'm the king now, bitches. But yeah, all that stuff happened. So yeah, the king's dying in a tent, and he's chatting with Farmer, and this is where he's like talking about, you know, being my son, it's a good thing because you have qualities of like leadership and you speak your mind. And then he starts saying this poem, I guess, where it's like, wisdom is our hammer, prudence is our nail. And as I've written down, men build something, something. Courage never fails. but Farmer like says like, courage never fails. When did you hear that? I used to say it to my son all the time.
Boom, boom.
And then they started talking about like, hey, you ever thought about doing a farm over the hills over there? Like, oh no, you can't. There's only salt water over there. It's like, no. You get the seaweed and you put
there's,
it
up. There's people who can grow two crops a year. Kill the soil that way.
Yeah, the seaweed enriches the soil, and I'm like, babe.
You should try it sometimes.
Babe, Google it. Does seaweed really help nourish a field?
There are some types of seaweed that you can use as fertilizer.
Really?
That is a thing.
Oh, I just think all the salt and stuff on it.
So like, if you pour salt water on a field, that's too much salt, but plants actually need some, like, salts to grow. So seaweed, being a plant, has just enough of the salt.
Sorry, I'm just also thinking of seaweed's got electrolytes. That's what plants crave.
That's what plants crave, yes. Pretty much.
But, yeah. All right. What happens? Oh, yeah, Sobieski, she brings the nephew to the army. And the commander of the army is basically like, all right. Well, motherfucker, we're about to duel. And you're like, what you gonna duel me? I'm royalty. Can't fight me. And he's like, fuck, I can't. Yeah, so they fight a little bit, and basically the commander, like, you know, gets him on the ground. He's basically pwned, and then you hear someone yelling in the background, the king is dead! The king is dead! And then the nephew's, like, lying on the ground.
You can't kill me!
That's right! I'm the new king, and you can't kill me, you punk bitch! And I'm like, what was that?
So, right.
Someone say something over there?
I'm a little deaf in this left ear. Did you guys say something?
Yeah, sorry. Years of battle have made my ears ornamental at this point. No, but, yeah, basically, you know, he lets him get up, and the nephew's all like, put your sword down. Get out of my face. And then Merrick shows up, and he's like, that's right. The king did pass away moments ago. He was murdered by his nephew, bitch ass, or whatever the fuck his name is. His nephew, Shaggy. No, not you, Commander, the other Shaggy. Behold the new king, Camden of Conrad. And I'm like, who the fuck is that? You may know him as Farmer. I'm like, oh, Farmer. Okay. And so yeah, he's Jason Statham still in his, you know, Farmer get up, just walking around, and like, and everybody starts like kneeling, and he's like, oh, come on, get up, guys. You know me, I'm Jason Statham. And he's basically like, all right, everybody, get some rest. We've had a rough day. Tomorrow we march on Christwood or Christwind. And I'm like, I'm just gonna assume that's the castle. All right, cool. And then, yeah, I think from here we cut back to Christwind or whatever. And the wife is brought in to Galeon. Like the wife and the uncle are, like, brought in by the orcs. And he's like, "Why get? I don't want to deal with any of this. Get out of here." And then he's like, wait. That one. The cute one. Bring her here. No, the girl. Yeah. Bring her over here. And then we get one of the weirdest scenes in this movie where he's, like, getting close and, like, starts, like, sniffing her. He's like, I sense him in you. And I'm like, yeah, literally. Ooh!
I believe you were also like, yeah, so that's what his dick smells like.
Exactly. I always wonder what his dick smelled like. I can't get it through the avatar. And basically he's like, you're pregnant. You're pregnant with his baby. What?
What?
Yeah. So anyway, we then cut back to the battlefield and, the king's got his whole funeral pyre thing going, John Williams plays like it's Star Wars. And the orc army's on the way and, they're like, all right, what's going to be the best strategy? And, I think Merrick, he's like, I think a small team will be able to slip by and take out Galleon or whatever, and then that'll basically be that, since they're all, like, I don't know, minions of his, right? Seems like a plan to me. Let's do it. Sobieski, she kind of shows up and is like, I'll fight for you as well. And like, even the commander of the guard's kind of like, that's great, sweetie. Someone was like, that's great, sweetie. Why don't you go back to, whatever. Go back to the castle. And, Farmer is basically like, hey, we take all the hands we can get. As long as you can wield a sword, you're welcome here. And then she's also like, oh, and I think I can get my wood nymph friends to help out, too. He's like, sweet.
The wood nymphs are like, of course we'll help the farmer.
Yeah.
He's our friend.
Oh, they're basically like, yeah, we'll help you fight, but then leave us the fuck alone, please. Right. Like, just leave the forest. Never come back.
Look, if you become king, can this just be our forest? Like,
yeah.
Yep.
Sounds yeah, good. Whatever. You can't make no turnips out here. We may send a couple truffle farmers your way, but they're pretty cool. They'll be played by Nicolas Cage.
It'll only be a few times a year.
Yeah. No biggie. So we then cut to Christwind or whatever, and Galleon's chatting with the wife, Solana or whatever. And she's basically like, have you no mercy? Mercy? I'm beyond mercy. I'm beyond good and bad and all those other trivial things that mortals talk about, or something like that. Like, he starts going over the top. And then she's randomly just like, kill me! Wait, what? What? Just like that? You just want him to kill you? Alright.
Kill me now! My family's dead! See, she's got nothing to live for.
Yeah, but then she, like, I don't know, scratches his face or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, like, takes a swing at him and, like, he's got a little cut on his cheek. And this is where she says, if you bleed, you can die. And I'm like, never heard that expression before.
We can kill it.
You son of a bitch. And then they do the claspy handshake. No. So then, Galleon calls upon, like, this big storm and it, like, this giant storm rolls in, like, the battlefield where, like, the orcs and the army are about to fight. And it just, it's nighttime, but it blocks out the sun and starts dumping buckets of rain. And, there's a good, like, 10 minutes of fight scene, cutting back and forth and stuff. But, people, like, fighting, like, in the mud with the rain coming down.
Yeah.
And it's actually shot pretty well. What better lit than Game of Thrones half the time.
Fucking right?
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Yeah. And there's, flaming arrows and, like...
Somebody can direct an action scene.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. But...
Take notes, Michael Bay.
Yeah! Suck it. And then, right in the middle, we get that, like, random, like, Lord of the Rings shot of, like, the farmer and, like, four other people, like, walking on the ridge.
Yeah.
As, like, the helicopter shot pans around. Yeah. And then they get to this cliff overlooking Christwind, and Merrick's there, the wizard guy. And he basically pulls a Gandalf where he's like, I must go now. And then there's like a three Mississippi, and he's like, I'm going to distract Galleon so you guys can get in.
You're not strong enough to defeat him.
Well, fuck around and find out. And he like zips away. And yeah, we get a nice little, we get a wizard fight, and
yeah.
I can see where there's criticisms of this, because it's basically Ray Liotta on one side and John Rhys-Davies staring at each other as, like, CGI swords and daggers are, like, cling, 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 like, between them.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, like, is a very cool concept and will never translate great on screen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it...
Yeah, yeah. Even if it was like with King Arthur, where it was kind of like, CGI Jude Law or whatever, fighting. But
yeah, like just whenever you have like floating weapons fighting, it's it's never going to be as good on screen as, like, the concept is. Like, floating weapons, it's when tough. You're at, like, a live event, is going to look cool as shit.
Oh, hell yeah.
But, yeah, like, on screen, everything just sort of flattens out. It's never going to be as good as, like, a good fight scene.
Yeah. But
so it feels very wizardy.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, it's wizard duel. Like, it's better than, Ian McKellen and Christopher Lee, like, waving their hands a little bit at one another, and then their stunt doubles spinning in circles.
So what you're saying is you want it to be more like a Lo Pan versus Egg Shen?
Oh, absolutely. Got the avatars? Like, you know, little thumb twitching and stuff, yeah. Like, they're playing fucking video games.
Right? I liked that it was, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but, like, would this scene be better if, like... I don't know, they had, like, smoke avatars doing the fighting, as opposed to just fighting
swords. I mean, maybe mixed with the swords, I don't know. I enjoyed it, but I could see where it'd be like, God, they're just standing there, and then some CGI guy's going in there later, and it's like, yeah, watch a superhero movie.
Fucking right. Tell me about Endgame again.
Yeah. Hey, not everybody can afford Anthony DeLonge's, all
right?
Right? So, that's right. Friend Our interview, Marcus! He's fucking amazing! So what happens? And meanwhile, like, Farmer and, the other people, they're, like, doing, like, a little rope swing across the cliff to then find a little nookie-noo, like, a little hole that leads into the cave fortress or whatever. You know, lots of that stuff. But then we also find out that, Galen and, Merrick are the last of the Magi. Not Magi, Magi. And, basically madness can be powerful, and I'm like, yes, the dark side, I mean madness is powerful. And then we see, like, I don't know, like a sword being parried, but then it, like, turns to dust and then reconstitutes and goes right through Merrick. Merrick's dead. We then cut back to the, you know, there's a lot of cutting back and forth between that and, like, the nighttime storm fight in the mud and stuff. That's pretty cool. Oh, yeah, when Merrick dies, like, Sobieski, she's, like, standing on the cliff or something, and she, like, magically teleports into the room where the wizard fight was going on. Because, you know, she's Merrick's daughter and has the Magi power that, yeah. But she shows up there, and we get, you know, the death scene with John Rhys-Davies, like, yeah, take my power! And... basically her reaction is basically like she looks to the right a little bit and then looks forward, and she, like,
right.
The room gets brighter, but that's about it. Like, oh, yep, I'm more powerful now, yay.
Yep.
And yeah, like, the uncle's, like, leading a slave revolt down in the basement or whatever, the dungeon. So yeah, just fighting on all fronts, kind of cutting back and forth for a while. And then Farmer, like, goes into the library or whatever where Solana is, and is like, Solana, oh, Farmer, you've saved me.
We would love you so much.
And Galen's there too, like, hey, what's up, buddy? He's like, we're about to fight. Yeah, I'm about to knock out your wife. Whap! Like, throws her against the wall.
Right? It's like, oh shit, isn't she pregnant? Didn't we just
It's like, Schmishmoshinini. Schmishmoshinist.
Oh no!
But yeah, then we get a little fight, a little sword duel, and then there's, like, a weird scene where, like, Ray Liotta, like, matrixes away from the sword, and he, like, falls on the ground, but then, like, bounces up, like, 10 feet in the air, and then, and, like,
gently lands like a little fairy.
Yeah, and then, like, lightning bolts or something at Farmer to back him off, and then, yeah, lands gently, and it's like, okay, cool, we're gonna do this. Like, fighting with magic, eh? No honor in ya? I see you played Knifey Spoonie before. He's not Australian, Steve. Anyway,
you just want him to be the new Mad Max.
I want him to be new Crocodile Dundee. That's what I want. So, like, fighting or whatever, and Farmer, like, takes his sword and, like, swings at him, and Galen, like knocks Galen's sword out of his hand, and then, Galen, whatever. But then Galen, like, catches it, like, right above his head, but, like, kind of nicks his scalp a little bit, so you get the little blood trickle down his face. But then he, like, you know, tosses him to the other side of the room, and then he starts off, like, some, like, book tornado, like, because they're in the library, like, all these books start spinning around, Farmer, and making him float like he's, you know, young Bruce Wayne in the beginning of Batman v Superman. Fuck that movie. And
Sorry, fuck that movie.
And then, okay.
And then he was like, what are you fighting for, farmer? Is it the grief of a father?
The vengeance of a father? The vengeance of a son?
The vengeance of a king? You forgot about the vengeance of a mother.
Shlink! The wife, like, stabs him right in the back. And then,
but he's not dead yet.
Yeah, basically, he's like, ah, fuck! And he's got, like, a sword in his hand. He's about to chop down on the wife. Yeah. But then Jason Statham, he comes sliding in, basically, and is like, pling, slack! And he's even doing, like, the little, like, slide away, like, no look back thing, too. And then you see Ray Liotta, like, I think he's supposed to be acting like his head's about to, like, Rick. He got decapitated, like, his head's starting to slide off, but, you know. No time for that effect. So yeah, he falls. And then like cuts to Sobieski like lying on her back like she got stabbed. And I'm like, wait, what happened? And then you mentioned like, oh, it's like all the magic like left him and went into her at that moment or something.
Yeah, that was my guess. Yeah, 'cause then she's like laying there breathing super heavy. Like focus on the tits heaving.
Yeah. Oh, this chest plate. Yeah.
Oh, my heaving breasts.
Yeah, so, and then, like, all the orcs just fucking fall, like,
yeah.
Or, like, fade away or whatever, and all the army's like, I think we've won! Yay! Ah! And then we cut back to the library, and Farmer, like, you know, they grab, like, in the romance novel cover, and he's like,
sweeps up his wife.
I've got something to tell you.
Yes.
I love you.
I love you too, Farmer.
Roll credits. That was abrupt.
That's it. That's the end.
That was it. Roll credits, guys. That's it. Directed by Uwe Boll. And we're like, all right.
That ending felt like a fuck you, Hollywood.
Yeah. He's like, ah, fuck Lord of the Rings and its 8 endings. I give you negative endings.
Right? No endings for you.
No resolutions for you. He's king now. Stick around for my sequel, Dolph Lundgren, fuckers. Yeah. And then we get this, Ren Faire song, See Me in the Shadows or something. I'm like, okay.
It sounds a lot like the snake song from King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. Dum, 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 dum,
dum. Oh, so yeah, babe, that's In the Name of the King, A Dungeon Siege Tale.
That is In the Name of the King, A Dungeon Siege Tale.
Would you recommend it?
Absolutely.
I would too. I don't get the hate for this movie. No. I really do not.
No. It's because people like to hate Uwe Boll, and the casting does feel weird. I will give it that. But it works!
It's a very grindhouse movie casting, yes. Where it's like, hey, we got Cameron Mitchell and Oliver Reed and all these all these Academy Award winners from the '50s, but it's 1978, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah, this is like, oh yeah, we have Academy Award winners from the '80s and '90s, like Ray Liotta, Burt Reynolds, Jingly Bell in the background. Thanks, Pickles. You know, like all these...
He's alerting us to the orcs, Steve.
Oh, shit! Ninja! Yeah, but it's 2007, and yeah. It's like
we got we have an Olympic medalist.
Yeah, and John Rhys Davies, remember him? He was in Sliders 10 years ago, and Indy like 25. Yeah, yeah. It's something I'm, like that kind of film, but it's also like we've seen far worse. Fantasy movies, period piece movies, like.
Guys, Transformers movies.
Ghost of Sherwood was several years after this movie, and fuck that movie with a hot poker.
You really hated that movie, didn't you?
Oh, you loved it?
Oh, no, I don't want to say that, but like, you have like vengeance against that movie.
Sometimes that 3% audience score is right.
Sometimes it's super generous.
Sometimes dead is better. No. Oh, babe, did you know there were deleted scenes of this movie?
Yes.
I guess realistically, there are more extended scenes. But yeah. Basically, one I think they should have kept in the movie was where after the duel thing and
the announcement. Yeah, between the two Shaggies.
Yeah, between the two Shaggies and then the new king is introduced, you know, Camden of Cumdeer or whatever the fuck his name, Farmer. And then, you know, in this movie... The nephew just kind of like slinks away and dies.
We don't
another
even
horrible.
See that. We don't know. We don't know what happens to him. We assume he slunked away.
Oh, that's
he
right.
He just disappeared.
I was thinking the nymphs got him. I'm like, no, the nymphs got him. And then Sobieski brought him back to start that scene. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, we see his end basically when you know, everybody starts kneeling when to
farmer's declared a king.
Yeah, King Farmer Commander basically just shows up, grabs his hair, sword in front of the throat, slink, game over, man. but that was cut, probably because that would have made it rated R. I don't know. yeah, what else is there? Yeah, the scene where Farmer and Norik are like fighting in the village back at the beginning of the movie. Basically there's like one of the orc dudes are like hung in like one of the pulleys or whatever inside of the barn. That's it. And then we also see a scene where Ron Perlman's like, I'm coming with you. He's like, no, you can't come with me. He's like, my house is on fire. I'm coming with you. That's basically it.
Yeah. I enjoyed that little dialogue. That would have been fun to add in.
Yeah. And then, another scene where they're like trekking through the forest and the, uncle breaks down because he's had a rough day where basically everyone he's loved has been killed or captured.
Right.
And like, oh, we need rest.
Do you want to rest?
Yeah. 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 You can see why they're deleted. But yeah, I'd recommend this movie, guys. If you can find it, check it out. I have no idea about the sequels. Maybe we'll check them out if they're on Tubi or something. But yeah, check it out. Anyway, on that note, we're going to take a quick commercial break.
We are.
Oh, babe, when we come back.
Oh, yeah.
We have more beer. Fun facts.
What?
And what we learned from In the Name of the King!
Oh!
: A Dungeon Siege Tale.
Ooh.
This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored. Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
The NBA playoffs are back. And on FanDuel, new customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Back in the day, news like this, your crew would have been writing each other letters.
Dearest Benjamin, wonderful news from the East. The spread has been covered.
Or maybe you'd use your phone to actually call someone.
Man, you see that dunk? Man, I saw that dunk.
But these days, it's all about the group chat.
I love that high-fiving kitten emoji.
No matter how you tell them, let your crew know that all new FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Ooh, Morse code. Classic. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Sergeant and Mr. Smith, you're gonna love this house.
Bunk beds in a closet?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, are you looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for the holidays? Do you like supporting the arts? Well then you need to check out untidyvenus.etsy.com, the top one-stop shop that always pops her top. Are you a fan of dinosaurs? Snacks? Dinosaurs made out of snacks? Movie monsters? Unicorns? Cats? Dogs? Rats? Shrimp? Pokemon? Tie-dye? Paracord bracelets? Paracord dog leashes? Enamel pins? Coloring books? Block prints? Watercolor? Pet portraits? Buttons? Magnets? Stickers? Bottle openers? Artist trading cards? Or really anything else that's awesome? Then stop on by untidyvenus.etsy.com. That's a goddess who's bad at housekeeping. .etsy.com. New items are popping up all the time, so be sure to follow her on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or Patreon at Untidy Venus. Or visit her website at izzycreates.com for the latest. Did I mention the Snackosaurs? How about Gary the Unicorns? UntidyVenus.etsy.com, the goddess who's bad at housekeeping. Check it out now.
Hey everybody, this is Jason.
And Jeff.
And Blake.
And we're the History of Bad Ideas podcast. And if you like hearing geeks talk about Fisto from He-Man,
or zombies, or dragons, or zombie dragons.
I was given copy to read, but it's a piece of crap. So if you just like any geek or any fun stuff, just listen.
We drop every Wednesday on iTunes, Stitcher, Tangent Bound Network, or WeBeGeeksPC.com.
Oh God, I'm out of here. And remember to wear a coat.
Hey, I heard you like movies.
I heard you like to hustle.
I heard you like podcasts.
Well, guess what?
There's a podcast for you out there called The Home Video Hustle.
Damn right.
Every Friday, we talk about whatever movie PJ picks out the bag.
What does that mean?
Every Wednesday on our YouTube page, I put a bunch of movies in a bag, and PJ picks one out at random. Mm-hmm. And then we just watch it, and we talk about it for maybe like an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever we feel like doing, wherever the conversation leads us.
But do we actually talk about the movie?
Most of the time.
Ah.
Tangents galore.
Yes.
So believe me, we may be a movie podcast, but it's not always about movies. We might talk about video games.
Mm-hmm. Music. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the big one, music. Sometimes we might get a little bit of politicalness in there.
Yes.
Sometimes we may just, oh, we know what we like to do. We like to tell stories, PJ.
Ah, yes.
I am the master storyteller of the podcast realm. Undefeated. So if you like to hear about movies, video games, whatever foolishness comes to our mind, the most random stuff you can think of, check out the Home Video Hustle. You can find us on the Stitchers.
Yes.
The Google Play.
Yes.
Apple Podcasts.
What else?
Podbean.
What else?
Podcast Addict.
Goddamn.
All that. Ain't no reason you can't get your hustle on. We everywhere. Worldwide, baby.
Hustle, motherfucker. Hustle.
Hey, we can't cuss in the promo, PJ.
Ah.
We gotta be family friendly. There may be podcasts out there that don't want his hair to say all that good fun stuff.
Well, you.
don't run the listeners away, PJ.
Ah, I'm sorry.
But this is going kind of long.
Yes.
So we'll end this and say, hey, check out the Home Video Hustle every Friday on all the various podcast outlets. Peace.
Peace.
It's RuPaul, and you're listening to Everything Ever for Movies.
And we're back.
Oh my god, Steve, those are the greatest ads that ever added in the history of adding.
Oh, she said
they get better every week.
Oh, babe.
Steve.
I don't know about you. I'm a little thirsty.
Ooh, I'm still a little sober.
Oh, good. Ooh, we have a new offering from Utah Brewing. In Ogden, Utah, we have Snapdragon Imperial Rice Lager with ginger and lime.
Yeah,
no other description other than that. Oh, seven 7% alcohol by volume.
Woo!
A nice little like cherry blossom picture or something on the front, right?
Oh, it's a Snapdragon.
Oh, that makes sense. Being called Snapdragon. All right. All right, and my top.
Oh, my top.
Nice. And the pour.
This is a beautiful, very pale colored beer.
Yeah.
It has a gorgeous, very like pure white foamy head there. Lots of medium-sized bubbles dissipating quickly.
Medium-sized bubbles dissipating quickly. Sing it.
This just like smells like ginger and lime. This,
yeah, yeah. Like
this almost smells like, yeah, smells like a soda.
Yeah. Mm. Oh yeah, this basically tastes like a Moscow Mule.
Or,
yeah. Yeah, basically, like, just seltzer water and, I don't know, gin? a little ginger ale.
And some vodka.
Yeah, wow. Not bad at all. Yeah, 7%. Sneaky, too. Like, you get a little burn just because it's so light, but...
Yeah, it's... I think most of that burn's honestly coming from the ginger. It's very ginger-forward.
Yeah, that might actually be it, yeah.
And instead of being, like, sour from the lime, you get more of almost, like, the lime zest.
Yeah, it's
not very acidic.
Yeah, when you get lime like mixed with like the malts and stuff, like in a like a pale ale where they try to do like cilantro and lime or something like that, it comes off differently just because the malts in there. I think because this is mostly like rice based or whatever, it's just very clean
and
finish.
They don't use, I don't think they use lime juice, which would be the really acidic part. I think they use like lime peel.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
So you just get that like lime essence.
Yeah, really making the mouth water and stuff though. Like, just a nice little like Moscow Mule. Yeah.
Yeah, it's delicious, but it's sort of one that grows on you.
That's Utah Brewing, a block away from Brewies in Ogden, Utah.
Yeah.
Babe, what's going on at Brewies nowadays?
Oh, I heard word that they're going to be having a movie night.
What?
Twice a month with a certain podcast who's going to be showing bad to questionable movies and reviewing some of the beers on tap.
Oh, man. Well, let's see. It's mid-May when this is coming out, so we would have already shown Link, Congo. Those were both back during April. I think we've already shown our first one in May, The Running Man. But what's coming up later in May? You can find out at EILF Movies. That's
Everything I Learned from Movies
on Twitter, Facebook, and Patreon. Also, you can follow at Brewies. That's B-R-E-W-V-I-E-S. I'm at the Ogden location on Facebook, on Twitter, all that stuff. And they'll keep you posted, too, because they're doing some pretty cool stuff there at that Ogden location. Like, they got karaoke nights and stuff like that. Yeah, check them out, guys. If you're in the Ogden area, or you know someone who is, let them know.
Yeah, basically new management, and they're doing all kinds of good stuff, guys.
Yeah. Well, babe, would you be interested in any fun facts about this movie?
Only if they're super fun facts, because they're fun facts.
Well, you're in luck. Babe, Rotten Tomatoes, what do you think the critics thought of In the Name of the King,
A Dead Siege Tale? The critics are not going to like this movie. Nobody liked this movie for some stupid reason. Oh, god damn it. I'm going to be super mad. Is this movie like 7%?
Close. It's 4% with the critics.
Oh, god damn it. Fuck you. Fuck you, critics.
But nobody gives a fuck about the critics. What about that audience?
I'm going to go with my super generous 17 because I think everybody's a fucker.
It's higher. It's 23.
Oh, good.
Still pretty low, but yeah, definitely more. Any guesses on what the budget of this movie was?
Oh, $150,000.
No, $60 million, actually.
All right.
Fairly decent budget. U.S. gross, 4.8. Worldwide gross, 13.1. Biggity, biggity, bum, bum, bum. Kevin Costner was offered the lead role. Uwe Boll claims Costner wasn't interested in filming a large-scale action film and instead offered Boll the opportunity to direct the project he was working on at the time, Mr. Brooks. Hmm. And then Uwe Boll turned him down on that one.
Oh.
Have you seen Mr. Brooks?
No.
It's okay. It's a Costner as a potential psychopath killer kind of thing, but yeah, check it out, guys. But yeah, Kevin Costner as Farmer.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm glad they got Statham instead.
I'm glad they got Statham too. Sorry. Costner just wouldn't have been as physical in the role, and I think like this movie really needed that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that like he can't do like stunts and stuff. Just Jason Statham, like you can tell he's like willing to hurt himself for a role.
Yeah, well, this is also 2007, so Kevin Costner's in his early 50s, I think, at that point, and
yeah, so is Jason Statham.
Yeah, Statham today, but 15 years ago. Yeah. And Costner, I don't think he was ever an Olympic diver or something.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like Statham is just more physical.
Yeah. Claire Forlani was the last major performer to be cast. Her role had been previously offered to Jessica Alba and Jessica Biel.
Oh.
Apparently they both turned it down.
Huh.
Alright, the medicine that Merritt gives Farmer was actually tea mixed with ketchup. Uwe Boll purposely concocted the mixture to get a disgusted reaction from Jason Statham. Achieved. Okay. Uwe Boll considered releasing the original cut of the film in two installments because of its length. That's what she said. Instead, it was edited into theatrical release, and the director's cut was released on DVD. Uwe Boll claims that the 2 hour and 36 minute director's cut of the film is not, in fact, the complete version. He says there is an unreleased 3 hour version that was created and featured more character development.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, there we go.
Honestly, I'd watch it. Just to see what's going on. Yeah. Look, I just sat through 3 fucking hours of Batman.
Right? And how many ninjas were in that? Not enough.
Yeah, no. like less than 10.
Less than Batman Begins, that's for sure. No.
Yeah, right? How many actual penguins were in this Batman?
Less than Batman Returns?
Less than Batman Returns. Yeah. Guys, they had real penguins, and they made the little rocket packs. They could swim around with them.
All right. This next fun fact may be complete BS, but it was an IMDb, and I wanted to share it.
It's an IMDb, and it's a new Uwe Boll movie, so fuck you.
Yeah, so who knows? But apparently, Kevin Smith and Juliette Lewis were filming Catch and Release on an adjoining set and came to visit the set. Burt Reynolds saw them steal 2 boxes of Krispy Kreme donuts. Thanks, IMDb.
I would like to believe that is true. I genuinely want to believe that that's true. I'm going to take that as fact.
But Burt Reynolds didn't say anything because he's not a fucking snitch. Some PA did. No, I don't know.
Oh, no. Burt Reynolds didn't snitch, but it did come out in an interview.
Yeah.
Because he's an attention whore.
Yeah. That's my Burt Reynolds laugh, everybody. Love it.
He doesn't laugh in this movie.
Oh, well. Well, maybe they had to cut it out. Because Burt Reynolds extensively rewrote and edited the dialogue for his death scene, creating friction with script supervisor Ingrid Kenning. Reynolds had never played a character who died in a film and was adamant the scene be something special. Yeah.
That 100% sounds true.
Yeah, right. There are also two sequels starring Dolph Lundgren and Dominic Purcell in the lead roles I mentioned before. So, coming soon. No, but babe.
Steve.
We reached the most important part. What did we learn? In the name of the king. A dungeon siege tale.
Ah. I learned when you're pulling turnips, use both hands. And when you're selling turnips, use both boobs.
Yeah. These hands speak louder than words. Have a cool
yeah. Yeah. How did they get our wedding vows in that movie?
Finger bang bang. Bang bang bang.
No, guys, our wedding vows. Oh my god, the officiant accidentally had no idea that he stumbled upon an inside joke and basically just kept telling us fart jokes, but he didn't know it. And Steve and I just squeezed each other's hands so hard, trying not to laugh. Because we knew as soon as one of us cracked up, the other one was a goner.
Damn right.
Steve? Be sure to share all of your secrets.
Yes.
In the dark.
Yes. Secrets are like thoughts. You share them with the ones you love.
So when he wouldn't stop going fucking on about secrets.
Share your secrets at the dinner table, in bed, whatever. Yeah, like,
it was something like, don't just share secrets in the dark. Share them in the open with all that you love.
With plenty of airflow. And it's like, you son of a bitch. Well, babe, on that note,
Steve,
wisdom is our hammer, prudence is our nail, men build something, something, courage never fails.
I like it that way, just as it is.
When men build something, something, profit. No, I don't know.
Babe, we have a new shirt.
You'd be like, my god, that's an amazing quote. It's so prevalent. Where did you get that? In the name of the king, a dungeon siege tale. From the writer of Blood Honey. Yeah. Well, babe,
Steve, thank
you so much for watching this movie with me.
Thank you for watching this movie with me.
Are you on social media?
Nope. Wait, no, I am.
Oh.
You can find me everywhere at Untidy Venus. That's a goddess who's bad at housekeeping. I'm on all the social medias. I'm on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. I also have an Etsy shop at untidyvenus.etsy.com where I sell all my goods and wares. Oh my gosh, guys. Yeah, go get some fun stuff. Summer is a-coming, and you know what that means. Snackasaur fundraiser!
Yeah! Snackasaur's been
in! Yeah! I need a Demetra dog.
Yeah.
It's a hot dog, but it's a Demetra dog.
You've been talking about that one. We almost raised enough for it last time. But.
Right? And then I also have a Patreon at Untidy Venus. Guys, I've got some tutorials on how to do art going on over there. I post pictures of things that we go out and do, pictures of the pets because they're so cute. And join like the sticker of the month club for $4 a month. I'll send you a sticker, waterproof, UV resistant, put it on your water bottles, put it on your laptops, keep it in a drawer
put it on
somewhere
your eggs
because
in the morning.
You've got exactly yeah. Put it in a drawer somewhere because you've got too much anxiety to commit to anything. Whatever you do with it, get the stickers.
Indeed.
That's not a personal attack on anybody except for myself. Because my target audience is 36-year-old white females who are me. Thank you, Dana Gold, for letting me steal that. Steve, where can we find you?
Oh, well, as you know, you can find us everywhere on all the major podcatchers under Everything I Learned from Movies. Tell all your friends about us. We're awesome.
No.
Or you can hit us up, of course, directly on Twitter, Facebook, and Patreon at EILF Movies. That's Everything I Learned from Movies. And hey, if you're in northern Utah and want to come watch some amazing free movies and hang out with us, find out how at EILF Movies and Brewies, where we're, excuse me, at Brewies in Ogden, where we have our bi-monthly live shows. And there's also this local artisan collective nearby in Ogden where you can also buy Izzy's wares as long as dozens of other artisans.
Oh my god, you guys! I joined an art co-op and my art's in an actual store on Kiesel Avenue here in Ogden, Utah. I'm so excited. I'm so, so excited. You guys can buy my goods and wares as well as 20 plus other artists where you teach classes at the art
collective. A 16th generation silversmith.
Yeah, 16, 1-6, generation silversmith can teach you how to make a piece of jewelry.
Yeah. You can hear more about them at TLA Collective, I think is their Twitter. They also have a podcast. Check it out. It's like once a month, but, you know. Yeah,
I'm going to be
quality over quantity.
I'm going to be on it over coming up here sometime. I will let you all know when I'm going to be on it.
Well, there you go. Check them out. Yeah, I guess until next time, I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
And this is... Everything I learned from movies.
Have a good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Would you believe in a night like this? A night like this when visions come true? Would you believe in a tale like this, a lay of bliss, praising the old law? Come to the blazing fire and see in the shadows, see in the shadows. Songs I will sing of runes and rings, just hand me my harp, this night turns into myth. Nothing seems real, you soon will feel the world will live.